Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Listen to the words of this song, which we should all make our prayer. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While in others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While in others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Pray that that will be answered for all of us. Reading from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 8. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. all my state shall Titus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Let's give thanks that there is such a way, a new and living way in Christ. Let's pray that God will make it ours. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ, giving thanks in his name for all that has been given, also begging thee in his name for all that's needed, both what we know we need, and also, Father, what we do not know we need, even as the Laodiceans, to whom you did say, Lord Jesus, and knowest not that thou art poor and wretched and miserable and naked and blind. We pray that we may not be in the church with such pride and ignorance, such blindness. We know the danger is there. We know it was true in that church and can be a repeat of it today. And if we are, Father, we pray that thou would awaken us, revive us. We know it was not only true in that New Testament church, but also in Israel and Judah, when they cried, peace, peace, when there was no peace, and the people loved to have it so. Help us to see this terrible blindness that can come in knowing part of thy word, only enough of it to make us proud, but not enough of it to make us humble. Make us to do, Lord Jesus, as you taught those before you while here on earth, that if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Help us to know our bondage, and then help us to know that we can only be set free in thee. We pray that thou would teach us that in a mighty way, either that we might go back to it, as thou didst call some of the churches in Asia, or that we might have the beginning of it, as many needed today, that are outside the church, some having begun in it but left it. We pray that they might be brought back. Some, Father, having thy word in their homes, but not going, as thou hast said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We pray that even if they are in their homes, they might take thy word today and read it, and that thou would bless it, as to Josiah, who, when hearing the word, trembled before thee, and knew thy wrath was upon him and them at that time. And we pray that we might know that in our nation today, that there are many reasons why we can have thy wrath upon us, in our churches, in our homes, in our individual lives, in our nation, in our government. A government with our homes and churches sadly divided, and more enmity manifesting itself. We pray that thou make these words effectual to us that Paul gave to that church at that time, and that it might remedy us in each and every circumstance and situation, individually and collectively. We pray, Father, also for other nations. We pray for those that are suffering at war. We pray for the many that are in hunger, the homeless, the persecuted. We give thanks for the blessings that we have in our nation of food and raiment and freedom. We pray even for those that in our nation have also suffered loss of homes and fire, flood, wind. We pray that thou wilt be with all those that are in any way of suffering. But also make us to know, Father, that we have here no abiding city, and that whatever we lost is but temporal. Help us to realize the greatness of our soul, and if that is lost, it is eternal. Make us to know it, Father, in repentance. Make us to know it from thy holy word, and we pray that thou wilt lead us in both the temporal blessings and the eternal. We pray that thou wilt be with the homes that are troubled and broken, the children in those homes, with our schools, with our government. Especially we pray for our president and leaders of other nations, that they might have the fear of thee, which is the beginning of wisdom, that thou would also protect them from all the terrible evil forces that are there to destroy them, as in our nation, having an undercurrent of government that should not have that much power, but are exercising that rebellion, that treason, that guilt. And we pray that we as a people might see it, and especially do as Paul could exhort this church and us, continue in prayer. And we pray, Father, for ourselves and for our leaders, and again the church, that it might be a salt and a light in this nation through Christ. Amen. As we continue in this word, it is a word from God, a word at that time to that church that Paul could write directly to them, and also for others, as we see in the last part of this chapter, verse 16, that when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. We don't really know of an epistle to the Laodiceans, but some say the letter that was written to the Ephesians was also for the Laodiceans. We do not know that for certain, but we do know that this word is here for today as well as it was for them 1900 years ago. As the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And we may take this as part of God's holy scripture, that which was not of private interpretation, but, as Peter writes, as holy men of old were moved by the Spirit of God. And we may believe that Paul was to write to this church as it was and for what they needed. And we have seen in past weeks that exhortation, continue in prayer, how we need to do that. This is not a lesson to be forgotten. Is a lesson to be learned and remembered and continued in. And then as we go further to what we saw last week and hope to see this week, it is to be added to till we know the fullness of that word and that we know it together as churches in such a way that it'll make us one, that we will be as that early church after Christ's ascension, found in one place in prayer and supplication in one accord. We need to do that for all things. I can remember a time a number of years ago when there were a group of pastors gathered together and they were praying particularly for one thing that was taking place in their particular denomination that they were troubled over and what they were fearing did happen. And then they just sort of phased out and said, well, that didn't happen and they don't have to pray for it no more, as if it was only that one thing. We have many things to pray for. I won't even mention what it was, but it was probably less important than some other things that we should have been praying for then as well and continue to pray for today. Many, many, many needs in our individual lives, in our homes, in our churches, in our nation, in the world of Jew and Gentile. All needs to be prayed for. How easy it is to neglect it, but all of it needs to be under God's blessing, or it will remain under His cursing and end under His judgment. I think of Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex Him in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon the holy hill of Zion. Yes, the holy hill of Zion, which is really the church, but also Jerusalem. As Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, not to swear by Jerusalem, it is the city of the great King. It was that. While Paul was here speaking to the Colossians, it was that when Christ had spoken of that in the audience before him in the Sermon on the Mount 30 some years before that. And it is that today, the city of the great King. He may allow things to happen there, which are happening, the divisions, the terrible things, the sad things, but it remains how he described it, and it will prove itself to be true. Scripture does not return to God void. It accomplished that whereunto He sends it. It's just one of the other things that we should know. Strangely, I have to confess, that phrase there in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, I never noticed it till maybe sometime 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I've asked many people what Christ said about Jerusalem in the Sermon on the Mount. Most of them don't know. They don't know that he said, Jerusalem, the city of the great King. That makes that city special. Of the great King. Who is that? He who is King of kings and Lord of lords, who sits on the right hand of the Father in heaven even now, and at the same time can say to those who believe in him, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. He's the one that is directing Paul here to write to us. Number one, in this particular passage, continue in prayer, praying always for us, that he might know how to speak. Then, as we saw last week, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Oh, how we need to do that. Yes, that doesn't leave out those that are within. It doesn't leave out our private walking before God. It doesn't leave out our walking with our family. Here, particularly, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. I don't believe I mentioned it last week. I had it in mind to mention it. James writes, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. If I did mention it, it bears mention again. This is something that needs to be there all the time. All of these things together. Prayer. Walk in wisdom. Redeeming the time. Both walking to those nearest us and those without. How our nation needs the church again to walk to those that are without the church, outside of it. Christ also said in the Sermon on the Mount, You are the salt of the earth. And then that sad word, But if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. And I'm afraid that's where we are today. There are too many speaking smooth things. You speak to me the way I want to hear it, and I'll speak to you the way you want to hear it, but not enough from God to exhort one another. We need to do what Christ wants the church to hear. He said, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He does that through those in the church, one to another, and especially to those that he gave in a particular way to the church, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, for the perfecting of the saints, and for the reason given as well in Ephesians 4, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and then also what we have to be turned from, that we be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The winds of false doctrine are blowing. When they were that way with Jonathan Edwards in the 1730s, they were so fearful that the spirit was gone. They couldn't even believe they would be saved. That's how they recognized false doctrine. Today it's everywhere. Those doctrines that they feared are amongst us. Some churches writing them as their confessions, other churches believing them even though they have a better confession. The doctrine of Arminianism, free willism, the works of man instead of the grace of God alone. As Paul writes to the church at Rome, if it's of grace, it is no more works. And if it is works, it is no more grace. As Thomas Boston, an old Presbyterian, stated, there's no mixing in this business. It's either our works are there before God, which are corrupt, sinful, all will be punished. As Paul could write, we're not saved by the works of man, but by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's what this church had, as we mentioned last week, twice in that first chapter, from darkness to the kingdom of God, and even from enmity. First chapter, 21st verse, And you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, hath he now reconciled. God turns us around from being an enemy to being a little child, to be taught. And that has to come first. Paul could speak to these Colossians as if having that. But I sometimes wonder now how many of us have it. We all are out of place. That's why we have to be born again. Christ told it to Nicodemus. Paul knew it for Titus, for others, and for each and every church. The Ephesians, you hath he quickened. It's for everybody. And nobody will see the kingdom of God except they are born again. Nobody will enter the kingdom of God except they're born of water and the Spirit, which I believe is the water of the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Spirit makes that Word powerful to make us hear, as we can read in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Following this letter to the Colossians, listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The fourth verse states this: knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Sometimes the word election is used, sometimes the word choosing, sometimes the word predestination. The doctrine that teaches those three words are often despised and ridiculed. Remember, one person wrote their minister and says, do we still believe that? He wrote her back, the sad thing is that we don't. It wasn't sad that that person thought in the confessions they were still there. But he rightly said, sad thing was that the people don't believe what our forefathers left us and wrote in confessions of certain teachings of Scripture. And we can put the different Scriptures together from Romans, from Ephesians, that teach us of God's election. Yes, it's there. We won't continue on that today, but that was there at Colossae, as well as Ephesus, Rome, and Thessalonica. And it must be here where I am, or I wouldn't be here. It must be where you are, or you will not be right with God. We can change our mind, but we can't change our heart, our deceitful heart. We can't humble our proud heart. Only God can. He can tell us we should have a new heart. Unless he gives it to us, it won't be done. And thankfully, he does. And we may believe he did here at Colossae, so these people would have ears to hear and a heart to understand, and that they would do what we've come to hear when he says in this fifth verse, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. That's the church, we might say, in the world. That's the church, particularly in the nation. That's where the church is to be a salt in every nation. We read that in the sixth verse, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. We really have to see those verses together, that it is all part of the whole, praying, walking, and speaking. When we think of this, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man, especially to walk rightly, walking and talking together to them that are without. It's a sad state in our nation today. We have much that could be called treason. We could have much that is very different than what God tells us to be, especially as his children. When you think of what Paul wrote to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 13, listen to the words as he gives them to that church and part of their life of thankfulness, part of their life of sanctification, basically beginning with chapter 12, and then the 13th chapter, our relationship to our government. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there be no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We have in our country today what some call a shadow government. They're lying about those who are truly elected. They're lying about the one that God has given us, as we read here, no powers that be but are of God. Yes, our last president was also of God, and we had to submit, be quiet. But with the present president, those who didn't get their way aren't quiet. They're trying to overthrow we're in a very dangerous state. We're in a state like some of the other countries were a number of years ago, when there was an overthrow, when there was a different government. Yes, part of it was the fault of the church. The church was weak, didn't have an influence in the nation. And then the wicked could take over. A number of different countries. One of them in 1917, another one in the 1930s, others later taken over by wicked rulers. There was a dissatisfaction among the people. And people then sometimes fall for anything. I remember one black man said he listened to our former president. Said there was going to be a change. He said, I voted for him. I wanted a change. But then he said, after he was elected, I didn't want that kind of a change. There are changes from bad to worse, and we are headed in that direction. We are already a nation of murderers, killing a few thousand babies every day. We're doing that in hard-heartedness, and it's having an effect on others. It's having an effect on the young people in the schools. There's a hard-heartedness that is killing. It's not, first of all, the guns. It's the heart. It's the murderous thinking, the proud thinking. And we need in the church today, yes, today, to listen to God. We can't promise each other what there will be tomorrow. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We are free today. I'm free today to preach the word. Yes, there is some talk of not allowing all the things in the Word to be taught to certain groups of people. They're supposed to have their rights to sin, and we are going in that direction. And if we don't walk in wisdom today, we may look back tomorrow and say how foolish we were. Only we can do it. And God's time for us today if we hear His voice. That's true in marriage. Do it right if you have the blessing. God giving you a husband, giving you a wife. Do what He tells you. Wives, submit yourselves. We saw that in the last chapter. Husbands, love your wives. We saw that also. Don't forget that. We can't throw the old lessons away. We have to go on like we do when we went to school. Did you forget your ABCs? Did you forget your arithmetic? We need to learn it. We need to keep it. Do you remember your spelling, your grammar? That's what we had in those days. They give it different names today, but the basics are still there. What we learned in childhood, we need to keep into adulthood. What we need in the beginning, in our calling from God, we need in continuance. Christ said in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's true for individuals, it's true for churches, it's true for nations. There's blessing in heeding God's word, every part of it. Praying, walking, and speech as well. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Today, hear God's voice. He's speaking to you yet today through Christ alone.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.